Is this for me?
No, we just put it on your podium so you can give it to somebody else.
Did you put that up there? I hate to assume something. I picked something up and started ramping it. Somebody said, that's not yours. That's awful. You know, you just don't want to go there. That's horrible. But I had the feeling it might be for me, and not that I can get into it. But anyway, I'm going to ask for help while I'm going and getting into this message, get started here, because I can't untie this. Thanks. Yeah, I guess so. I can't untie it.
If I can.
You just hate cutting something like that, don't you? Well, I'm grateful. By the way, I want all of you to know, thank you. I want all of you to know that I appreciate my gift so much. I really do. You can't believe how a man can just sit and hold something like that. An inanimate object, you know. But yet it's just like, oh. And thank you so much. I appreciate it. And so let me see what this is right here. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Well, no wonder he was acting that way. This is trophy bucks. Okay. That's my trophy buck calendar. And I won't be able to preach now. I'm distracted. Yeah, oh, that hurts. I don't see this in the hill country, but wow, thank you. All right, here we go. Now, let me tell you before I start, and we're going to jump. We're not going to just hold on to this forever today because we're in between, and I had two other messages, didn't know what to do. When that happens, it's always easier if just one comes to your heart and mind, that's it. Didn't happen this time. It was three different messages, and I didn't know, thought, well, Lord, I don't know which way you're going here with this. And it was like, I want to, and then it was just, I just sensed that leading of the Spirit. I want to end the year and start a new one with covering some bases you've already covered. And it's like, oh, man, because everybody's going to say, we've heard this and this message, this and this message. I know that. I knew it when I was looking at it. And it's like, really? I've got two other really. And it's like, no, this is what my people must get down in their hearts and minds. So whoever this is for out here this morning, would you please get it so I don't have to go back through this again? You know, I like new material, new insight, new research. And this is, there's new insights on this, but you'll hear these and say, we've heard these before. And it's like, I know I told God that, but he wasn't listening to me. You know, sometimes God's not going to, he's hearing you, but he's not listening. Because he has something he wants you to do, and you can complain all you want, and you're going to have to do it. Does anybody run into that problem? You're telling him now this can't be, or I need this. And he hears you, but he's not listening. Because he's saying, you listen to me. And that's what it's all about. So, here we go, and as I hit these, you'll know a lot of these verses because they're some of my favorite verses, and I'm thinking, I hit these a lot. It's like, but you don't expound on them enough. Okay, so here we go, Romans 8. I say Romans 8, and you're going to go, yep, that boy does build on those. I do, they're building blocks for me. They're foundational for me, and yet it's so important, so I'm going to skip through this. Would you please read the entire chapter of Romans 8 so this message is fulfilled with you and God at home? Because I can't read. You're going to think I'm reading the whole thing anyway, as much as I have. So the title of this is God is for you. Don't forget it. God is for you. We have lived through one of the most weird, unexplainable years that we've had in a long time. It has been, our lives have been touched by so many things. We started off this year in a crisis, and then it seems like that there's some people out there who can't live without creating another crisis. It's true. But they are only, listen to me, they're only a symptom, if you want to call it that. They're only an exemplifying what's happening within our own, all around us. all around us are people who cannot function unless they're creating trauma, drama, some kind of calamity. You've got people that you know, probably maybe family members, friends, whatever, and they can't live without creating a crisis. You probably were around some of them yesterday, I don't know, or this week, or you will be for New Year's. And it's like, they're just drama. Drama goes with them everywhere they go. And they got to create some kind of tension, some kind of crisis. They got to upset things. There's got to be something wrong. You can make the best ham in the world, the most beautiful golden crusted turkey with juices running out of the thing. Every slice, you bite into it, and there's a buttery flavor and an aroma coming out of that thing. And there's all the dressing and the good stuff, and the mashed potatoes and the butter and the steam coming out of it. And the rolls that you just break them open, and there's the aroma of that fresh baked bread. And you got all of this happening here. And it's just, I mean, it's just more than you can stand. And somebody will say, there's a cherry out of place in that pie. Really, you know people like that, right? And they find, they just look for the one thing that's wrong and build it into a crisis point. And we have it in our highest positions, and you have it next door, and you have it all around you. And it's unbelievable how people can take one little thing, and they look for the one little flaw. You can just work and work and work and work, and it's perfect. And there's just one little thing, and they'll point it out to you. Anybody know anybody like that? Oh, okay. Is there anybody here? You may not want to raise your hand. Is there anybody here that is that? Okay, I didn't think it's. Oh, you like that? You're an honest person. it's just in your nature just to go to that one little and see the one little thing. Oh my goodness, I would drive you crazy. The way I do things. But that's okay. That's honest. Does it ever make you frustrated at yourself? Yeah. Because I talk to a lot of people, you know, which y'all know I do. And there's a lot of folks who have that problem. And actually, they get more angry at themselves than anybody else for doing it. Because they'll see the one thing, and then it's called fixated. They get fixated on the one thing, and they can't get it out of their head, and it starts to grow. And does it sound familiar? Yeah. And anyway, so you know people like that, so I'll be careful because we have one who's admitted, and I appreciate honesty. So I have to leave out some points today because you admitted you have it. And so it feels like the whole message is picking on one man here today. So let me read this first point. And God is for you. And so we've got all this crisis. We've got all this stuff. We've got people out here more than willing to put us in a crisis mode, make us and blame us for everything. And is anybody lately, and just lately even, I know you have in the last few months, but and all of us have, has anybody just lately been blamed for something you had nothing to do with? Has somebody just blamed you for whatever? Yeah? No, not lately? Good. You know, I get blamed for stuff all the time. So, you know, it's your fault, Tony. You didn't. If you'd have preached, I've even heard this, you know, if you'd have preached that message, if you'd have just preached on that subject, this wouldn't have happened in my home. And it's like, that's pretty serious. I mean, and I'm telling you something, it loads you with guilt because it's like, well, I wish I would have. God, did I miss one? But no, I mean, it's like, so people will blame other people for everything. And we focused in, and so this is just to let you off the hook. And for those of you who blame yourself, anybody here take the blame too easily for everything that goes on around them? Anybody do that in this group? This is a healthy group. Oh, we do have one. There's one here and one there. Honest people here today, and that's what it takes. Anybody else, you just assume the blame. If something goes wrong where you're present or you're around that you should have done, coulda, woulda, shoulda, something about it. Anybody else? You too? You used to. Anyone else? Yeah, you get older and you finally say, you know, or they say more mature, you finally say, oh, just bite it, you know. but it, yeah, and take the blame. All my life I've done that for the church. You know, you're responsible for the church. Something happens to somebody in the church, it's your fault, Tony. You should have preached better. You should have counseled better, done whatever different better, and this wouldn't have happened. So I want you to know that God is for you. And so our first point here is that God does not condemn His people. All right? You need to know that. God does not condemn His people. And then, therefore, it says in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Read the rest of that. He says, you know, through the Spirit, you won't have that, but you need, because you need to read all this. And this is a kind of a homework assignment, because read everything that I don't have time for up here to try to get this message in. Because, you know, it says God, there's no condemnation. So let me tell you what condemnation is. I've hit on this in a message quite a while back. If you didn't hear it or you weren't here then, it's okay. But we talked about the difference. What's the difference between judging and condemnation? And let me put it this way. You know, through the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life, it says, has set me free from law, sin, and death. Okay. But there's no condemnation. That word condemnation. You say, what's the difference between judgment? It says, don't judge, don't condemn. That's another passage. You know, judge not, be not judged, don't condemn, be not be condemned. What's the difference between judging and condemning? It's this, in the courtroom, in God's celestial courtroom, it's a more heavenly thing and higher. It's a higher, more exalted thing than our courtrooms here, but it's similar in this. In a courtroom here in the land, you go before the judge, you go before the jury, and you present your case and blah, blah, blah. And then you got a jury over here who goes out and they contemplate, look at the evidence, and they come back. Okay, and they declare you guilty. Okay? Now, that's the judgment. That's the verdict. The verdict is we have judged you guilty. But they haven't decided your punishment. That's at a latter date. And then it comes back then, and punishment, or the judge may do it there, but it's two-phase. The jury decides whether you're guilty or innocent. Okay? And then when it comes to the life of sin, we're guilty. And so that's judgment. It's pointed out that we committed the act, or we thought the stuff, we did it, we violated God's word. That's that. Okay, judgment's been passed. Condemnation is the act of sentencing as to what kind of punishment you receive for this offense. Okay? It helps to know the difference. And he's saying here, there is no condemnation. So what he's saying is, there is judgment, but there's no condemnation. You are not going to receive a sentence. You don't get the death sentence, which is what we really were going to get before Christ. If you reject Christ, it's the eternal death sentence. There's no 6 months in jail or 10 years in prison. So you're judged guilty, but condemnation then is passed over. And you say, what? And that's the way it is. And that this whole thing, and if you grab this theology, if you grab, this is a tenet, this is a tenet of Christianity, a foundation, a doctrine that you must know, and it's this. We're all judged guilty because of the law. Right? And Paul tries to explain this, and we get so confused, you read over about the law in Hebrews, and you're going, huh? You know, the law that was given on the mount, and thou shalt not, and all that stuff, we blew it, right? So the jury came in, God's jury, and we're found guilty. Is that true? Everybody agree with that, right? We're all guilty. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, but before God, the judge, lifted that gavel and sentenced us to hell, Jesus Christ stepped up and said, I will be the substitute for these guilty people. I will be the substitutionary. I will be the sacrificial lamb. They're guilty, but I take the condemnation. And God said, well, that'll take crucifixion. That'll take the shedding of blood, because there's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And Jesus said, I'll do it. I know they're all guilty, but I will take their punishment on myself, and you, if you'll turn them free. And God strikes the gavel and says, if they'll put their faith in you and what you're doing for them right now, that's called salvation, I will set them free, and there'll be no condemnation, because you're going to take it on the cross for them. That's what we need to end the year with and start the new one with. And it's a doctrine, it's a basic tenet that a lot of people just can't get the in their mind. We are guilty, and yet we're not condemned. And so Romans 8 says, right there, so, you know, you're judged guilty, and he starts off, and he says, I want you, everybody here to get this. There is no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. Meaning, he's in your heart. You're in Him. You abide in Him. He abides in you. You've received Him in your life. You've repented of your sins. You ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And you do it on a daily basis on the forgiveness. And He's totally cleansed you. And He took your place. He went to the cross. And He took death, your death, my death, on Himself. And here we are. And so we start this. We end 1 year and start begin looking to another. Knowing there's no condemnation at all for us. Isn't that great? And so now I'm going to come firing at you right down. Here we go. I'm going to, both barrels, boom, boom, boom. No, two barrels, boom, boom. And ask you this. That being the case, and it's proven in Scripture, why do so many people, Christian people, walk this planet, sit in church this very morning, and feel condemned? He does. If you didn't hear that, the enemy lies. And people, he lies to people and he says, you know what you deserve. See, this is the thing. You know you deserve. You know you deserve. Yes, we do. Why don't you finally just, you know, the only way to deal with it is say, I deserve it, but Jesus took it for me. I owe everything to Him. People feel condemned all over the place. They don't like themselves. Listen, if you feel self-condemnation, then you will have no self-respect and no self-esteem. This is why Romans 8:1 is so important that we all get this. And I pray the right people will listen to this out there and get this. If you feel condemned, you will condemn other people. If you don't like you, you will not like them. If you find fault in yourself, you will find fault in others. It all starts just right here. And where is that premise? Can you know biblically where is that proof? Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if I don't like me, if I'm judging me, if I'm down on me, if I'm condemning, I feel condemned, I'm no good, I'm listening, yes, to the lies of the enemy, I'm going to look for flaws in each one of you or everybody around me, and I'm going to find that one thing that I can jump on and just keep chewing on it like a dog chewing on another old dog in a bone, and I'm going to just chew away till I wear you down, run you off, totally destroy the relationship because I just can't get out in my heart this condemnation thing. This is important stuff. I've got to get it. Judgment and condemnation are not the same. I was judged guilty. Jesus stood up and took my punishment. But if I listen to the lies of the enemy, he's saying, you deserve, you deserve, you deserve, you deserve to get hurt, you deserve to get... And so I don't like myself. And we've all been around people who didn't like themselves. And what was the big overflow there? They didn't like you. I've had to tell many a person, and I will from now on, you know, and that when, especially when they're picking on everybody else, judging other people, condemning other people is, you know, your real problem is not other people, it's you. You act so proud and arrogant and so confident and fooling and lying. You see, we're lying to everybody. We learn to put on a show. But deep inside, we feel condemned. We have no self-respect, no self-esteem. We let the sins of our lives, the sins of our past, just sit there and beat us up and condemn us. If we're doing that, what are we going to do to other people? And let me tell you this, and we'll move on, I promise, because this is we're meddling. I'm meddling. This is a meddling message, I know. But if we're just all into our sins and our nastiness and all of our failures, the pressure becomes too great from that, and guess what we're going to do? we're going to start finding something wrong with somebody else to relieve the pressure on ourselves. We have to make somebody worse culprits than we feel ourselves. And then we start judging, and we move from judgment to condemnation. And we start saying, that person's this, that person drinks too much, that person, they're hooked on, you know, over-the-counter medications, or they do this, or they do that, or whatever it is. And then, though, we move to condemnation, and they deserve to die for that. They deserve to go to hell. Are they right? I mean, you hear this stuff. Boy, I tell you what they deserve. They deserve, and it's like, really? They might, but are we in a place to pronounce that condemnation? Because when I start condemning others, I'm saying, look at me. I'm the one that feels condemned. Because a person freed from death, from condemnation, looks at people and they just see people. They don't see faults and sins and hang-ups. We usually, listen to me, we usually see only what's in front of our own eyes through our own filters. Everybody with me? Now, a righteous person, God will say, look at the fruit. That fruit that person's bearing, what they're the actions that they're taking, the words they're speaking, they're not of me. That's looking at their fruit. That's different. But when we go to criticizing and condemning, judging and condemning other people, we're revealing something, a huge flaw in ourselves. That's why this is so significant. There's no condemnation. You're not judged. God's for you. And what does the Scripture say? If God's for you, then who could be against you? God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. So how will He not with Jesus freely and graciously give you, listen to this, give you all things? Why don't you go ahead and take them? Why are you resisting the gifts of God? Take those all things. This is just the first point. I've got to move on. Just remember this. God will convict you of sin. But there's a huge difference between conviction now, and get this. Now we talked about judgment. There's also a huge difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit to say, you have sinned and I want you to repent. It's not condemning. It's to change your heart and mind so you're more like Him. To keep you in fellowship with Him. Everybody with me? Conviction is of God to say you sinned. You're thinking of sinning, or whatever it is. And or He may bring something up and convict you of it and say, your attitude here, your words over there, that's not becoming of a Christian. And so God, through His Holy Spirit, reveals that in your heart and says, I want you to confess this and deal with it. So conviction of the Holy Spirit is to lead you and me to confess and repent of our sins. Condemnation is not there. Because that's sending us to hell or sending us to be punished. Jesus took our punishment upon Himself. So God convicts. Condemnation wants to send you somewhere where God says you don't need to go. Is everybody with me? All right, we're good? I see a few heads nodding. It's quiet today. So that being the case, then, let's move on and we'll get to this next point. And I've got to read quite a bit here. So the first point is, God does not condemn His people. The Lord Jesus, listen, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. And then our second step in this process, and grant, I mean, we're talking some doctrinal stuff here, deep stuff, and understanding the difference and what Christianity is really about. And so don't let the devil, as it was said earlier, lie to you. And don't let other people lie to you. People have so many false theologies out here. Look, read the Bible and just honor the Bible for what it says in that word, not what somebody else says for you to do. What does the Bible say? And just do it. Just do it. Believe it and don't look for somebody else to tell you, well, our church believes this and I hear that stuff and it's like, stop. Stop. I don't care. I say that more nicely than I said here. And I usually say, it doesn't matter what your church believes or your denomination believes. It matters what the Word of God says. Let's just sit down here. The thing to do is not to get make people mad. Sit down and say, let's look and see what the Word really says. Does it say that in the Word? Now let's look at it. And which scriptures now are you talking to me about? And of course, and that's what we, you know, and we're to reason with people and say, okay, let's read that together. And you'll read it just as plain as day. And they'll say, and here it comes. But, no. There's not a but in there. But, and fill in the blank of your church or the blank of, the denomination or whatever religious order. No. What does it say on this page? It says this. That's all there is. The scripture says if you add to this, all the plagues and judgments that it talks about in the book of Revelation be added to you. And if you take it from it, your place will be taken out of heaven. And said, don't add to or take from the scripture. Just what is it? So that's what it says. So you can walk out of here and you tell, whoa, sorry. Boom, don't hit the mic. Yeah. Tell anybody that says anything about, condemnation. When people start picking on you and they start telling you you're not this and you're not that and blah, 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 you can tell them, hey, you know what Romans 8:1 says about me? What? There is no condemnation. So God doesn't condemn me. So bye. You know, that's a nice way of saying, put it where, and anyway. So, really, seriously, friends, sometimes you need to just tell people, if God's not judging me, that's it. I'm trying to be real nice here. But you with me? There's a time you need to just, turn it off. And if you just tell them, that's it. I don't want to hear it. I said, well, you said this, and well, I heard you say a four-letter word back there a while ago. Well, so did God. And He convicted me of it. And I said, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. And He did not call you to be my conscience. Really, seriously, you take your stand and listen to what God says. That doesn't mean you don't listen to wise counsel, but you do not listen to somebody trying to judge and condemn you. Are you with me? And don't let your heart ever go there and do it to somebody else either. So let me read the rest of this. So the second thing is God is for you. He's for you. And that's what the title of this message is. But the second point is God is for you. And He's on your side. He's for you. Verses 13 through 18 and 31 through 34. Let me read this real quick. As quick as I can. I'm excited over it. I like this stuff. I do. I get hit so hard. I'm really serious. I'm not, this is not poor me, pity me. But doing what I do, can you imagine the people out and about that watch my life? They really do. And they'll sit at my gate and watch for me and all that stuff. And, oh, I got to tell you this real quick. I had a pickup the other day, sit and parked in the driveway. If it's your pickup, I'm not mad at you. But, no, anyway. And they sat there, and they were just watching me up there at the house. And people will do that until they're satisfied that they didn't see me committing some horrible act. I don't know. And then they drive away. And I'm kind of used to it. I don't like it, but it happens enough. And so they judge, and if I go to town and I always shave, personal habits, I know you say too much. No, but it's true. I shave before I go to town, no matter what kind of day I've had. You know why? I've had people comment, are you all right? It's like, why? You didn't shave. And I'm looking at them, and there's just stuff sticking out everywhere, and I'm thinking, I want to say, and you didn't bathe. You can see the oily hair and stuff, and it's like, why are you picking on me? But it's not because of what you do. And I try to, I'm pretty used to it, but still, and then, so that's why this stuff, I get excited about it. It's like, oh, there's no condemnation. It doesn't make any more. People can judge me all they want. They can say, well, your attitude, or you were rude, or you did that. And it's like, but God says there's no condemnation. You know what that means? For me, this is the Tony interpretation. God likes me. He says, I still like you, Tony. Even if you go to town unshaved, I still like you. I take unshaved people into heaven too. And it's like, well, you ought to. They all had beards when you started out on this thing. So anyway, verses 13 through 18. Listen to these verses. These are good stuff. I can't even find verse 13. Here it is. For you, if you live, now this is important. If you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. That's scary. I can't dwell on it for a long time, but if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. He says if you just give your life over to just doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, and you just do whatever your sinful nature tells you to do, he said, you'll die. It doesn't mean physical death. It means you're going to die spiritually. We're all gonna pass on, and I try to stay away from that. I don't like talking about that. You know, we're gonna leave this earth, but you'll die spiritually. By the way, if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die before you're dead. Did you know that? People that give in to their sinful nature and just finally yield to it, they're who that whole series and all everything's on the, that you talk, they're the walking dead. They're dead before their body leaves the earth. They are. They have no life, no sensitivity, no conscience. They feel nothing for anybody. They're dead. They're dead. That's why they do the horrible things they do to each other. Is they're dead. They're dead to the Lord. They're dead to conscience. They're like walking, you know, psychopaths. They have no feeling for anybody. Not even themselves most of the time. But he said, if by the Spirit you put to death, by the Spirit, you have Jesus in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Because, I love this, I need this passage. Those who are led by the Spirit by the Spirit of God, are children of God. Sons of God, children of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Listen to this. Anybody in here walking in fear today, now you know. If that spirit of fear, some people live in fear, Christians. And God is saying here, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. So that fear, if you're living in regular, continual fear, that's not from God. So where is it from? It's sure not from God. And you rebuke that, and you read these scriptures. He said he did not the spirit we have is not to make us a slave to fear. But you received the spirit of sonship, daughtership, sonship. And by Jesus we cry by the Spirit, Abba, Father. In the Greek, right here, it means Father, dear Father. That's what he says. You can say to God, you can call him Father, your dear Father. Father, dear Father. And the Spirit testifies with our spirit we're God's children. Don't you forget it. If anything else is telling you you're not a child of God, that's a lie from the devil. It's a lie out of hell. God's Spirit will always testify that you're God's child. Now get this. Most people miss this. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Has this ever hit you? This is so familiar, does it sink in? You're a co-heir with Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You're going to inherit everything Jesus has. I can't fathom that, can you? Really? Seriously? It says you are a co-heir with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory. I can't even handle this. I don't even know what to say when I read stuff like that. It's just too fantastic. And he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And read on the rest of it, because I need to skip on through so we can get this message and at least get the thrust of it. The crux of it. And then we're going to go to verse 31 and read that through 34. What then shall we say? Now look at this. What then shall we say in response to this? You need to quote this every day of your life. If God is for us, who can be against us? God did not send his own son. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Now, here it is. You grab this and you stand on this coming year. You wrap this year up with it and you start the new year with this. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? So when somebody starts whacking at you, you quote this scripture. God is for me. Nobody can be against me. And who are you to bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies me because of my faith in Christ. Who is he that condemns? It says, here we are. There's that condemnation. Who's going to send you to hell? Who's going to send you to some prison? Who's going to lock you up somewhere in an emotional dungeon? Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus died. More than that, who was raised to life, and he is at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. How about that? So when somebody comes at you and they're going to bring a charge against you, and you know what the charge will be, right? Well, I saw you smoking. I saw you. I heard you cuss. I heard you that. And what your response needs to be, I know that's true. Don't argue. Don't hide it. I know. So did God, and he's already convicted me. We're done. Like I said earlier, we're done. And you can't send me to hell for it because Jesus has already taken my place. And if you just really want to really be into it, you can say, and maybe you need to get to know Him like I know Him, and you'll find out that you're not judged either. And you'll quit going around judging people. Treating them like you treat yourself, which is not very nice. Sometimes you just got to kind of get in there. And so, listen, God made you. Listen, so let me give you these quick notes so we can close this up in a minute. God, just remember this, God made you. Jesus saved you. And the Holy Spirit keeps you. Now you keep that. God made me. Jesus saved me. And the Holy Spirit keeps me. Now that's big stuff. I mean, this whole thing, if you didn't get a thing else out of it, you get that. I'm made in His image, and Jesus came and died for me and saved me, and gave me His Holy Spirit to keep me in Him. And I'm sealed in the Holy Spirit. Nobody can take me away from God because I have His Holy Spirit. Nobody can change that. Nobody can condemn you. So I'm going to say to you, I'm going to give you some theological advice on what to do with the people that try to ride your back and make you feel lousy. And I'm going to give you two words. Stop listening. Stop being the victim. Don't be somebody's whipping post. Stop being the scapegoat for other people's sins and problems. Go into this new year, you put this into action, you put it in your life, you stop putting yourself down and you start accepting who you are in Jesus Christ. You're a child of the living God. You're a child of the King of Kings. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of sonship, daughtership. Nobody can take that from you. Now I want to close with this. God causes everything. And you remind yourself, no matter how bad it looks, no matter what you hear in the news, anything else, God causes everything to work to our good. Yes, you've heard these verses, but boy, we need them hitting home in our hearts. Get it from your head to your heart and start living it. God, that's Romans 8:28. Here's what it says. And we know. Do you know? Because it says we know. They knew then. We need to know it now. Know it in your heart. That in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Everybody get that? In all things, no matter what, no matter how it looks today, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Do you realize that that also means that He's working for the good even if you did it yourself? Even if you messed things up royally? If you're the one that caused the whole problem, God will take it and still work that for your good if you will yield to Him in that, if you'll confess to Him in that, if you'll take responsibility for it and not blame everybody else. All the time, I get calls, and I do. I get calls. I got a call here just recently, and the person on the phone was blaming God, blaming everybody around them, blaming their family, blaming their friends. I sit there listening to that, and it was like, oh, man. I thought, I must be talking to God's most personal saint. This person has never committed a violation, never done anything wrong. Every person, it's just that every person they've ever known is a worthless sinner. I just don't know how they can even live on this earth. Won't you just float on up to heaven and sit on a cloud? Really, I mean, when you just blame everybody, it's everybody. It's my job, it's my boss, it's my mother, it's my dad, it's my... And it's like, And I caught myself, and I shouldn't do this, but I've heard these over 40 years of this stuff, right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm wanting to help, you have to let people wind down so you can get them to listen to you. But I was going, I started doing this. I couldn't, and I thought, Tony, stop it. God's watching you. But I was just sitting there by myself, and I'm going, it's everybody's fault. And then I even got a lick. And there was just this quick little thing that something, I don't know what it was, something that I hadn't said right. And I thought, dang. That we got us all, didn't we? And I thought, and the real problem here is you. Is you. When the whole world's against you, you need to stop and look at you and say, what? Now, I don't mean when they're persecuting you for preaching for Christ or being a Christian. I'm talking about, don't be the victim. Anyway, I got to close, right? But just know, even if you're that, even if you go that far and you finally realize it and you say, God, I'm the problem here. I'm the trouble person. It's not everybody else. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I repent. I want to change. He will take and work that to your good just like he'll work it to your good if somebody else did it to you. Don't you forget it. Good or bad, God will work it to you in good. So let me say this to you. There's a passage there that says, weeping, you can look it up. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's what God's saying here. That's what he's saying. God will work it to you in good. Through dark days, cold nights, lonely evenings, loss, abandonment, fear, failure, anxiety, even success that goes to our heads. Through all of these things, whether you're abandoned, you're fearful, you're failed, whatever. You did it, they did it, whoever did it. God promises to bring you good from it. He promises. And God will bring good from it. Even from all the stuff we've had happen this last year in our country. All the weird stuff that's happening in churches. And there's weird stuff that's been happening in churches, not just this last year, but for some time. For about 20 years now, we've seen a shift in the theology of many churches. They've gone very socialistic. They've turned to a social gospel. And they focused on entertaining rather than teaching the Word of God. It's true. It's all about fun, making people feel good. What is it? Table. This. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's all about it. And it's like, we want you to feel good, but we want you to feel good about Jesus Christ in you, your hope of glory. Can't entertain all the time. We have to get serious, and sometimes it means we've got to point out sins, and people need to accept it and repent of it. Just want you to know, yes, good will come. You keep saying that, good will come. Good will come because Jesus has come. Jesus has already been here, done that. Jesus feels everything I feel. He knows everything I know. And Jesus knows the outcome that I don't. And though today it looks dark and dreary, I mean, like driving down here today, I got on I-10 and it was solid fog. At times, I couldn't see over 100 yards ahead of me all the way down. And I was very concerned because, something's happened to people's common sense. They don't cut on their lights. And you run up on people they can't see. And it was frustrating. I didn't get mad today. I just it was kind of scary because I didn't want to hit somebody. I didn't want them running into me. But sometimes life is like that. You feel like you're in a fog. And you feel like you're just running up on things and you don't even know they're coming. And you ever feel that way? And God is saying to you through the fog of life, through the mist, through the crud and the junk and all the mental confusion and the stuff, God is saying to you, if you just listen, good will come. Good will come. I'll bring it. I've promised that I will make all things work to the good of those that love me. And that's you. And that's you and you and you. It's all of us. Good will come. You keep telling yourself that. So we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And nothing, nothing, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's our message, to end one and start another. There's no condemnation, not a lick. You've been set free by the blood of Jesus. He'll convict you only to forgive you and set you free. Jesus has taken our punishment. Do not fear. And no matter what, good will come. God says so. He's going to work it out. He's going to make it good. And He's going to make you good along with it. Lord, we love You and we thank You. We praise You.